Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. This is the fourth in a row online service that we are offering as a church family, as we are all being impacted, not just us, but our country, even our world, through this COVID-19 global pandemic. This is a season where we are all being stretched personally. And as I have shared before, may our goal, may our desire through this season, not just to persevere or get through or grind through. Grace Point Church, may we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, grow through this season one step at a time. It is my prayer that we would grow spiritually as a church and individually as we again are in the middle of this pandemic. This is a stretching time for us. Many of us have been having to adjust our schedules, and it has caused some difficulty in our personal lives. Many of you have had adjustments made upon you with your work schedule, with your careers, with your school schedules. But here is the good news. God can work through all of these adjustments for our growth and ultimately His glory. At Grace Point Church, we talk a lot about growing spiritually through our Sunday morning services, through our small group gatherings, and also through us meeting individually in our solitude times with the Lord. A little bit later on, I'll have more to say about some small group opportunities and an encouragement to continue to meet personally, one-on-one, in solitude with Jesus Christ. But related to Sunday, this is not what we would have wanted. These online services are not the same as gathering together to sing together, to study God's word together, to enjoy fellowship together. But I am encouraged, as I've heard from so many of you, that God continues to speak and grow and comfort us as a church family through our online services and as we have been supporting and reaching out to each other. And speaking of Sunday, this is a special Sunday morning at Grace Point Church. This is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday that we call Easter. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the people of Jerusalem gathered together, and they even cut down palm branches and laid them at Jesus' feet as he was riding on this donkey to honor him and welcome him, hoping that he would be their Messiah. This Sunday morning, I've asked our favorite rabbi, Rabbi Barney Kasdan, to bring a special Palm Sunday message to us from his unique Jewish perspective and also as he is a committed Jesus follower. So I hope and pray that as we listen to his message and how he combines Exodus 12 with Matthew 21, may we have fresh insights into this special Palm Sunday. And as we hear how God wants to walk with us, not just today, but through this ongoing season. So as we gather to praise our Lord together and study God's word together, let's rely on the fact that God is not practicing social distancing. As we gather in his name, may he do his miraculous personal work in each of our lives.
Good morning, Grace Point Church. I'm Patty from the Sunday morning greeting team. We'd like to welcome you to our online service. We miss seeing you every Sunday. We hope you're doing well. So grab a hot cup of coffee and a hot cup of tea. Join us for some wonderful time of worship and let's lean into God's word together. Welcome. Come on in.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on you. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, oh, hallelujah, praise the on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Hold me now in the hands that created heavens. Find me now where the grace runs as deep as your scars. You pulled me from the clay, saved me on a rock, called me by lifted up, and my knees know it's all for your glory, that I might stand with more reason to sing than to fear. You pulled me from the clay, saved me on a rock, called me by made my heart whole again. So here I stand, I am surrender, I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever, my soul cries out. Once I was broken, but you love my heart. The ground where the grave did, where all my shame remains, left for dead in your way. You crushed those age-old gates, you left no stone unturned, you stepped down of that grave, shouldered me on the way. Once I was broken, but you love my whole heart through. Sin has no hold on me, 'cause grace holds me now. Healed and forgiven, look when my chains are now. Death has no hold on me, grace holds that ground, and your grace holds me now. 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 Chains are now. Death has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds that ground, and your grace holds me now. 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 Your grace holds me now.
God of creation,
there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars are made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. So will I. The stars are made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar in greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. Send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On the hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you so alive, I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. You gave your life to love them so alive. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Shalom, everyone out there. Grace Point Church, this is Rabbi Barney Kasdan with you again, and glad to connect for this Palm Sunday teaching. And boy, I hope everyone's staying healthy and in a strange way, some new blessings manifest your way. This strange season we're in with the pandemic and lockdowns and social distancing. And I guess we're kind of trying to get used to that, but we sure miss everyone and sorry we can't get together. Same with my synagogue, my Messianic synagogue down in San Diego. So we're all us churches and synagogues praying for each other at this time. Well, praise God for social media and ways to stay connected. And especially on this important holiday remembrance called Palm Sunday. We could use some good news always. And I was reading an article that reminded me not to read articles recently. The title of it was News Anxiety in Time of Coronavirus. And I think a lot of us can probably relate to this as county mental health officials have, besides all the other physical warnings and social distancing warnings, said now we have to watch out for our mental health and not to overdo it on news. You know, you can have that 24/7 news spin going and it affects our spirits, no doubt about it. And so actually the county mental health said, well, the best thing to do is to pick a window of time, a particular news program, whatever, tune in. We have to be educated, of course, but beware that an overdose of news can create anxiety, worry, and even affect our mental and, we know, our spiritual health. So, gosh, there's just so many new things that we have to deal with. One official said, quote, "We don't know what's going to happen, and there's no point in worrying about it." So I don't know if that's comforting or not, but it does remind me of another quote, a little bit related, but more spiritual, is we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And I think that's the word of comfort for us. Amen. As believers in Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah, Savior, Son of God. And again, if you're tuning in for the first time and you got a rabbi at this church service, let me explain. I'm a Messianic rabbi, meaning a Jewish background, born and raised Southern California, Jewish family, came to my faith in my college years, And we have a Messianic synagogue in San Diego called Kehilat Ariel, Jewish believers who also follow Jesus, Yeshua. And it's been a blessing to team up with Grace Point for many years, good friends with Pastor Bob, and it's always an honor to come and share, so especially on this Palm Sunday. And instead of news anxiety, let's bring some good news, comfort. Amen. Palm Sunday, good time for Palm Sunday in the midst of this pandemic. Passover coming this week for us in the Jewish community. Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, coming the following week as well. And it's some time for some well-needed good news, don't you think? It occurred to me that one of the amazing aspects of the holiday we call Palm Sunday is that it syncs up with Judaism. Maybe not a big surprise. If you've tuned in when I'm around, you know that I just think the connection is so strong, as the New Testament itself says, that Gentile believers have been grafted in to this olive tree of the Jewish faith, and Jewish branches grafted in as well. And so really, maybe it doesn't surprise you, but some people it does, that the more you read the New Testament, the more you see the Jewish connection. And to reverse that, the more you understand Judaism and Jewish culture, I think the greater appreciation we have for the message of the New Testament. So interesting, on Palm Sunday, it occurred to me we should talk about the Lamb of Passover. Title of this message, Choosing a Lamb on Palm Sunday. Almost sounds like a contradiction of terms, but we'll see what that's all about, starting in Exodus chapter 12. And going back to the first Passover, everyone pretty much remembers the story, the Jewish people enslaved in Egypt over 400 years, and now was to be a time of redemption. Moses raised up the classic battle with Pharaoh, and many details, some 3,500 years ago, and classic lessons even today for us, as we'll see. The description of the Lamb, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man shall take a lamb for his family, one lamb for the household. But if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor are to take one according to the number of the people. According to each person eating, you are to make your count for the lamb. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats.'" Okay, the description of the lamb, the Passover lamb. The redemption is coming, and it may sound strange, and it even sounded strange, I think, to the Jewish people. It's like, okay, we're going out of Egypt. We need to get out of here somehow. And why in the world do we have to think about a lamb? Why do we have to get this perfect lamb? Of course, the people in bondage in Egypt, and this redemption process starts and ultimately revealed in the holiday of Passover. And earlier chapters of Exodus reveal the 10 plagues upon Pharaoh. Remember, all these ugly plagues. One of them, by the way, specifically, is pestilence, which kind of gets our attention this Passover year and this year of Palm Sunday and Easter. One of the plagues, a pestilence coming, a viral thing coming over the land of Egypt, and it sounds ominous. It is ominous, scary, but yet God says there's one way of escape. one way of protection, and that will be to get this lamb he's describing to us. It's mentioned that it must be unblemished lamb, a perfect lamb, as it were. And we are also told in this extended passage is to be roasted with fire, cooked a certain way. Again, most of us know that when God gets into some of these details, it's for a reason. And, you know, some of it may be the practical preparation of a lamb and a sacrifice, a burnt offering, as it were, but there's always symbolism behind it. This is the beautiful thing about the Old Testament, about the Torah. It's pictures, symbols, word pictures of things to come. And so even the description of this lamb is important for us. Okay, if you know the Passover celebration for us in Judaism, it's very interesting to note that we do not have a lamb today. Of course, destruction of the temple, 70 AD, changed a lot of things. No more sacrifices, no more priesthood serving. And even for Passover, of course, we can understand this lamb is ultimately a sacrifice. So long story short, in Judaism, we do not have an actual lamb sacrifice. Actually, I'm kind of glad about that. I wouldn't want to take a lamb and have to kill it and do the blood ceremony we'll be talking about. But you can ask your Jewish friend, maybe you've been to a Passover Seder, that we remember the lamb. On the Passover plate is at every Jewish Passover Seder coming up this week. By the way, starting Wednesday night and Thursday night, two nights of Passover for most of us. We have a Passover Seder plate, and with various symbolic elements on that plate. And one of the graphic elements is a shank bone of a lamb, part of a bone of a lamb. And by the way, the bone is roasted, as it says in the Torah. The sacrifice was to be roasted. Of course, it's to symbolize the unblemished, perfect sacrifice that this lamb would be. All this description, and even for us Jews, it sounds a little bit archaic, and we don't do the actual lamb ceremony, but how interesting. Every year, we have that symbolism of the shank bone on the Passover plate. And the description of the lamb is meant to teach us greater spiritual pictures as well. Of course, as believers in Yeshua, as we call him in Hebrew. You guys all know his Hebrew name by now. Yeshua, salvation. Jesus in English. Jesus, Isa, whatever translation it might be. But when Yeshua, the Messiah, came, interesting. He's described as a lamb. You may remember a Jewish guy out in the wilderness. And as he encounters Yeshua, what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And for John the baptizer, by the way, I don't think he was a Baptist quite yet, but baptizer, ritual immersions, you know, out in the wilderness there. For John as a traditional Jew, for all the traditional Jews that came to hear his message and to proclaim this Yeshua of Nazareth as the Lamb of God, all their minds would click over to Passover, Lamb, and the implications of this Lamb, the unblemished Lamb, roasted perhaps to symbolize fire testing, that this Messiah is not going to have an easy time of it, and he will be tested, as it were, to test his metal and to confirm his purity. So the more you think about it, that Lamb of Passover is such an amazing picture of the Mashiach to come, the Anointed One. The description of the Lamb, well, this passage in Exodus goes on to talk about the inspection of the Lamb. Some interesting details here, continuing in Exodus 12, verse 6. God tells Moses, "You must watch over it, the Lamb, until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. They are to take the blood, to put on the two doorposts and on the crossbeam of the houses where they will eat it. They are to eat the meat that night, roasted over fire, with matzah and bitter herbs. They are to eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water or microwaved or anything else. It's got to be roasted with fire for some reason. Its heads, its legs, its innards. Verse 10, so let nothing of it remain until the morning. Whatever remains until the morning, you are to burn with fire, consumed. Also, you are to eat it this way, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You are to eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." I call it the inspection of the lamb because verse 6 says that once you have chosen this lamb, you're to have a brief time of inspecting it, making sure it's qualified, it's kosher enough to be the lamb for redemption. Now remember, in the earlier verses, it says that on the 10th day, back to verse 3, the 10th day of the month, you were to choose the lamb. Now the month, by the way, in the Jewish calendar is Nisan. That's worth knowing that. The first of months, springtime. It's our very first month that just started, the month of Nisan. But on the 10th of Nisan, which, by the way, is this Saturday, the Saturday this weekend, the 10th of Nisan, that the lamb is to be chosen. Of all the lambs, you got to get that perfect lamb, unblemished, prepared in a certain way. So choose it on the 10th of Nisan, but follow the calendar here. It says it shall be slain on the 14th day of Nisan, the 14th in the evening of that same month. So you have four full days, and in verse 6, it says you must watch it until the 14th day. So you get the picture here? Go down to the kosher market, get your lamb for your family. It looks good to you, but you actually bring the lamb home and watch over it for four full days to verify that this is a lamb good enough for our Passover, good enough for our redemption. Oh gosh, my mind just jumps to the fact too. Can you imagine bringing this lamb, even a young lamb, into your house? And, you know, I don't know how some of these, 4-H, the Farmers Association, raise these animals and then you sell them off. And you hear sometimes, it's like, what an emotional tug. I mean, you've raised this animal, you've lived with this animal, and now you're selling them off. Well, there must have been some of that personal connection, probably why God said, do it this way. Choose the lamb, bring it to your home, live with it for those 4 days and really get to know it and verify that, yeah, this meets all the requirements that we need to make from the Torah. From there, again, the biblical ceremony to slay the lamb, interesting, an innocent lamb who, was not in slavery, was not a sinner, or an innocent lamb is slain, and yet the blood of this lamb is put on the doorpost of your home, the two side posts over the top lintel. The word doorpost, you've heard the word mezuzah. Your Jewish friend usually has a mezuzah, you know, the little box on the front door or on many doors of our home. Well, that's the actual Hebrew word, that you shall put the blood on the mezuzah, on the side of your doors, and you must also eat the lamb. So it's a, you know, cooked lamb, and you shall have this meal. And this, of course, becomes the first Passover dinner and celebrated throughout the centuries. Also noted, keep your sandals on, staff on. I mean, you're having dinner. Usually the day's over, right? We're just going to kick back for the evening. He says, no, after this dinner, you get ready to move out. So again, the more you think about it, the more lessons we have here. Always be ready to move on what God's saying, even if it may not make total sense. But a lot of us have learned, well, maybe we've learned on the negative side, and we didn't move fast enough with the Lord's guidance. So Palm Sunday, Passover, intricately connected, and these important lessons. Now, forgive me for getting too technical. I don't think this will be, but this calendar is totally amazing to me. The Jewish calendar, and why God would emphasize, I mean, why didn't he just say, get a lamb and put the blood, you know, do the sacrifice immediately? But for some reason, we got that four-day gap. We know that Passover is on the evening of the 14th day of the month, Nisan. But you go back to the 10th day, and it's specified that this is a very important day to choose the lamb. How in the world does this relate to Palm Sunday? Well, a most amazing event happened. Fast forward from the days of Moses to 32 AD, Israel, Jerusalem. Look for a moment with me at Matthew chapter 21, the passage that really speaks of the choosing of the lamb. And of course, the church knows it as Palm Sunday, and we know why. We'll see why. Matthew 21 is the key passage, but I think a lot of believers don't understand the connection all the way back to Moses about Palm Sunday. In Matthew 21, quite interesting time. Now they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. And Yeshua sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village before you. Right away you'll find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says to you, you shall say, the rabbi needs them. And right away he will send them. Now, you get the context. And many of us know the backstory of about a three-year ministry that Yeshua had in Israel, all over Israel, the Holy Land, ministering, teaching, miracles. And the context here is the last few days before the last Passover, coming into the holy city once again. And he will celebrate the last Passover. Last Supper was definitely a Seder. You see all the details if you read carefully. But Matthew 21 is quite amazing when we compare it to what God told Moses, because Yeshua is clearly, organizing this event, planning this event, that he would come into Jerusalem, into the city, riding on a donkey. And we're told why in Matthew 21, verse 4. He says, this happened to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying, quote, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king is coming to you, humble and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Prophecies from Zechariah chapter 9, by the way, in the Jewish Tanakh. Bible. So it's interesting. I was actually talking to a person, a Jewish friend, and they said, well, you know, this Palm Sunday thing, and Jesus is just contriving this whole thing. I mean, look, he says, get a donkey, and it's not like a coincidence or impromptu thing. He planned it. And I thought about that. I said, well, yeah, I think you're right. He definitely planned it, and he initiated it this way. And, maybe God could have done some other way. Coincidentally, the Messiah rides in on a donkey, but I think it's even more of a powerful statement that Yeshua, Jesus himself, is making here. Because it's as if he says, I'm coming to Jerusalem. It's this time of year. The Messiah must come on a donkey. Guys, go get a donkey. And there's one, tied up around the corner. If they ask, like, hey, where are you going with our donkey? Tell them the rabbi needs it, and they will give approval. All to fulfill the Jewish prophecies once again. Zechariah chapter 9:9, that the Messiah must come in this way, humbly. Now, when did this take place? You could see the response in verse 6. The disciples went and did as Yeshua had directed them. They brought the donkey and colt and put their clothing on them, sat on the clothing. By the way, often kings in the ancient Middle East would ride these beasts of burdens as such. Verse 8, most of the crowd spread their clothing on the road. Others began cutting branches, notice, from trees. A lot of palm trees in Israel, by the way, like Southern California. And spreading them on the road, the palm branches. And the crowds going before him and those following kept shouting to him, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. Baruch haba, welcome, in the name of the Lord. Of course, they were all chanting in Hebrew, but with some translation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're welcoming this Yeshua as he comes into the city. Verse 10, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowds kept saying, this is the prophet, Yeshua, from Nazareth in Galilee. The prophet. Again, that's worth noting because it seems to be a reference to the prophet, a particular prophet mentioned by Moses in Deuteronomy 18. A prophet's coming after me. Listen to him. Of course, King Messiah. Truly amazing. Now, of course, Palm Sunday, and maybe Palm Sunday's not a brand new expression to you, and we come together on this day, churches worldwide, and acknowledging the palms and waving the palms and having palm PowerPoints and everything else, because it was a way of welcoming the King, a way of acknowledging the kingdom of God is coming, reminiscent of the holiday of Tabernacles and waving the palm branches. So we know Palm Sunday on that level, but here's the deal. Not too many people make the connection all the way back to Moses, all the way back to the first Passover. So think with me for a moment here. Passover, we know, is coming, the last Passover, and the traditional timing is usually on what we would call Thursday evening, the 14th of Nisan going into the 15th, if you will. But you go back 4 days and you come to the 10th of Nisan when the lamb is to be chosen, when the lamb is to be presented. And for those 4 days, remember, live with the lamb. Inspect the lamb. One last look carefully at that lamb to discern if it is qualified, kosher enough to be the Passover lamb. Do you see what's happening here? It's perfect. And the chronology of the Gospels, by the way, you notice in Matthew 21, it doesn't say, well, on the 10th of Nisan, he went into Jerusalem. But we know, scholars are pretty much agreed that there are 4 days between the last Passover and backtrack to when Palm Sunday occurred. I think it's easier just to use the Jewish counting. Say, Passover on the 14th of Nisan, and whenever the 10th of Nisan is, that's when the Lamb is presented. Lamb is chosen. So no wonder Yeshua seems to have a sense of urgency to get to Jerusalem. Not only for the Passover, but I can imagine he's saying to Matthew 21, hey guys, guess what? 10th of Nisan, we got to go. It is the appointed time, and I have to present myself one final time to my people and to the world. And they'll have 4 days, 4 last days to discern and to inspect. And by the way, a lot of ministry with Yeshua happens in those 4 days, if you read the Gospels. And take one more look at me, Yeshua is saying. And you make the decision. Am I the Passover lamb? Am I your Passover lamb? Do you choose me to be your atonement? Do you choose me as I am about to give my life, sacrifice, not blood on the door necessarily, but the blood of redemption that is applied to our life by our faith, by receiving, trusting in the work of Yeshua? I don't know. Maybe it's my Jewish mind, but this is totally amazing. Maybe it shouldn't surprise us because everything's according to God's calendar. And by the way, we say Palm Sunday, on the Jewish calendar, it could have actually been Palm Monday. It actually doesn't matter so much if it was Sunday, Monday, Passover on Thursday, people debate those things. But for sure, it was according to the Hebrew calendar that God set out. And how amazing to have that time of inspection. And I ask us today, Palm Sunday, how do we look at Jesus? How do you look at Yeshua? And I can say for Southern California, we've certainly heard a lot about him. A lot of us have even read his story. And even, believe it or not, a lot of us Jewish guys, we know his story a little bit. Maybe not totally accurate. You may get a chuckle out of knowing that when I was back just about starting college, and some of you know back in the, what year was it? 1970, 71, Jesus Christ Superstar. Remember that came out as the movie? And so as a Jewish guy, everyone went to see the movie. It's just kind of like, interesting movie. And I know it's pretty off the wall. If you look at some of the details, I mean, I don't know if Jesus was driving tanks and whatever else he was doing in that movie, but believe it or not, that movie got me thinking. And, we all have some information, but is it totally accurate about Jesus? Is it totally accurate, on the Jewish side about Yeshua? Interesting. Palm Sunday, a day to inspect the Lamb. Take a fresh look and analyze and decide for ourselves. Again, our family, I can tell you, in Jewish families, it's kind of a controversial decision. But a lot of our families, it's controversial. Not everyone will be totally pleased, maybe, if you decide to be like these Jewish guys on the streets of Jerusalem saying, welcome, we welcome you, Jesus, as our King. And of course, there would be other segments of the community that will turn against him on that very week. Split decision. Which, it just seems like that's the way it's always been. And guess what? That's the way it is in 2020. Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, certain ideas, certain perceptions, and a split decision. a lot of people just say, ignore it. I'm not religious. I'm not into that. I don't want it. But guess what? There's a lot of us that say, you know what? I think he is the Lamb. There's too many coincidences here. And especially, I think the coincidence, quote, of the Jewish calendar, pick your lamb, watch it, make your decision. Well, a couple more verses back to Exodus 12, which gives us some more amazing details. Exodus 12, verse 12 to 14, the remembrance of the lamb. So again, the description of the lamb, what's this lamb supposed to be, what does it has to be, the inspection of the lamb on the, from the 10th of Nisan to the 14th of Nisan, if you will, Palm Sunday, all the way to the Last Supper, and even the Roman cross. Well, in the Torah, we're told something else unusual in Exodus 12, verse 12. God says, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will execute judgments on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you. Hence the name of the holiday. So there will be no plague. Oh, you might want to underline this one. There will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Isn't this strange? In this current pandemic and plague, really, that the whole world is in. And I know a lot of us have been praying more diligently, reading the scriptures more diligently, hopefully seeking God with a new zeal. And yet God says of this Passover that that blood of the Lamb is going to be our protection. Way back, 3,500 years ago, they literally put the blood on the doorpost of the house. And God says, when I see the blood of the sacrifice, the plagues are going to pass over. Wow. Please note that he makes no reference here saying, if you're Jewish, I'm going to pass over you. Well, not necessarily. Got to have the blood. If you're Egyptian, I'm going to judge you automatically. Well, he doesn't say that even. But he says judgment is coming in that day, and there's one way to be protected from the judgment: the blood of that Passover lamb. And I'll tell you what, if that isn't the gospel 101, what is? What an amazing picture of the coming Messiah, and specifically what Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, would accomplish by his life, his death, and even his resurrection. The blood of the Lamb will cover you. Put it on your, remember, mezuzah, your door, and protection. I know I've gotten calls, I'm sure your pastor has too, like, oh, Rabbi, Pastor, what can we do to protect ourselves? What spiritual, is there anything spiritual? And maybe you've even read some things, maybe not so guaranteed on or on the internet. One sounds pretty good. It's like, hey, anoint your house with oil, right? That oil represents the Holy Spirit, protection. I was talking to another pastor about this, and I said, well, yeah, that sounds good. I'm all for anything we can do at this point. But it occurred to me that the mezuzah on the Jewish door symbolizes what we're talking about. Now, if you don't know, mezuzah, you know, we all probably have seen the little box on our Jewish friend's door, but within that is the scripture, Deuteronomy 6, walk in my commandments. Teach them to your children. By the way, great time for homeschooling now, right? God bless you parents doing a triple overtime, but man, bring Deuteronomy 6 in. Teach them to your children when you're dwelling in your house, when you're walking down the road. So the scriptures are actually the power, the symbolic power of the mezuzah. Even in Judaism, Our rabbis remind us, you know, there's nothing magical about that little box on your door. But I think we can all appreciate if you put that scripture up on your door and you believe it in your heart. Every time you go in and out of your door, it is, I'll say spiritually, symbolically, a covenant, a protection, covenant protection over our household. So by the way, I mean, you can imagine my wife, Liz, Jewish, also believer. We and our four grown kids, but we got mezuzahs all over the place. It's just part of our faith tradition. But I sincerely say that, hey, there's no reason why Christians can't have a mezuzah on their door. I know, you know, you're not saying you're Jewish or anything, you know, confusing like that. But it's in Deuteronomy 6, you shall write it on your doorpost. And not only might it be this kind of protection that's talked about in Exodus from the plague, from a judgment, but guess what? Interesting testimony to neighbors, especially Jewish neighbors. Hey, you know, I thought you go to Grace Point. What's with the mezuzah on your door? It's like, well, guess what? We're grafted in to the same God. We believe the Tanakh, the Old Testament. We believe the God of Israel. And by the way, thank you for saying us the Messiah. He came through your people. And might get some interesting dialogue going with your Jewish neighbor. But as far as Rabbi Barney's concerned, anyone hearing this message, you're welcome to get a mezuzah and put it on that door and just look at it as a symbol of your covenant, your personal relationship with God. And I have to believe he honors that. Here, remember it always. It shall be a memorial for you. Verse 14, this day is to be a memorial for you. You are to keep it as a feast of the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to keep it as an eternal ordinance. Talking about Passover. And again, our Jewish community, we're starting Passover next Wednesday night. 3,500 years it's been going, and I have a feeling it's going to mean something extra special this year. It's so weird, like you all of us, we can't get together. And Passover is a family dinner, even a synagogue dinner. So for the first time in our lifetime, we can't get together. So we'll have the good old Zoom Seder, see how that goes. But the important thing is the connection. And thank God for Zoom at these days, don't you think? But the memorial continues forever. The Passover dinner, a memorial of this act of redemption that God did 3,500 years ago. But I hope all of us viewing this message can see that, you know what? There's a picture here. There's a prophetic picture of the Messiah to come who will be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who covers us by his atonement, his atoning death. And of course, even communion is to be a memorial. And I'm so sorry we can't have personal communion and we can't have a personal Seder together this year. But you can remember the cup. You know, communion cup is actually the third cup of Passover. The bread, the broken body of Yeshua, we all talk about. But remember, that is, check it out, the third matzah, broken matzah of the Passover for a reason. All this symbolism. And if you happen to be Jewish listening in, you know what we're talking about here. The whole Seder is so symbolic and maybe symbolic of the Messiah that we are to embrace, that we should welcome, like the Jewish people did in Matthew 21. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Welcome, Lord. We welcome you in the name of God. We believe. This coronavirus days presenting challenges, worries, anxiety. But I say, and wouldn't you agree, what a great time for Palm Sunday. A great time to understand that not only the promises of God, but how he's fulfilled so many of them already. His word is trustworthy. And he's watching over you. He's watching over all of us. He keeps us in his shalom. Remember, Yeshua at the last Passover said, I give you shalom, not as the world can give it. Peace I give you. So may we all have a fresh understanding, choosing the Lamb. Have you chosen him? Maybe you need a fresh inspection of that Lamb. Or if you've had faith and you're definitely connected, it's a time to get stronger in our walk with him on this Palm Sunday. Shalom, everyone. May the peace of God watch over us at this time. May we stand strong in our faith, choose the Lamb, and live. Let me say a prayer with us all. Pray with me. Father God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we do thank you as we commemorate Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem for those last few days. But Father, hopefully we appreciate some new details. It's all tied to that first Passover lamb, that unblemished lamb, tested, roasted by fire. Even the time frame strikes us, Lord. 10th of Nisan, Palm Sunday, picking, choosing that lamb, anticipating that last Passover and even his death that brings atonement. His blood upon the doorpost of our life, of our heart. So, Father, I pray that all of us at this time of testing, all of us will take fresh encouragement. Thank you for the truth, the reality of Palm Sunday. And you have got everything under control. And I pray a hedge of protection around every household. Every household that has that lamb, Father, we know we've got that extra protection that only the Messiah can bring. Thank you at this time for our redemption. Thank you for new life that we have. And Father, I pray that you strengthen the faith of all of us, all Grace Point, the Messianic Jews at Kehilat Ariel, the worldwide body of Messiah, that we would have a stronger and fresh perspective choosing the Lamb on this Palm Sunday. Thank you for all these realities. Minister by your Holy Spirit to each person. I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Let us all say Amen.
Well, hello again, Grace Point Church. Along with some weekly worship and some weekly study of God's Word together. A few weeks ago, we began something new on Sunday mornings. We have been inviting some of our people to share some stories with us on how God has been making positive differences in and through their lives. This week, let's hear from Eric and Jamie Callen, one of the couples and young families in our church, and hear how God has been walking with them as they have been walking together through this challenging season we are all in. After we hear from Eric and Jamie, I've also invited Jim and Linda Roberts to share about our ongoing prayer ministry. We have a heart for prayer. We believe in prayer. And I want to encourage you to listen to the invitation that they are making to you after we hear from Eric and Jamie.
Good morning, Grace Point Church.
Whew, that's better. Thank you, Grace Point, for helping us get rid of our quarantine hair and our quarantine beard.
Hey, Grace Point, this is Kaylin's here, Jamie and Eric. I just wanted to reach out and say hi to the Grace Point community and the young families. I know we've reached out to a handful of you guys just to check in and see how you're doing. I just hope you guys are all doing good. I know it's been kind of a roller coaster the last couple of weeks for you guys as well as Jamie and I. A lot of different emotions, just feelings of anxiety, but also feelings of hope, and then good times having conversations with our kids and spending time with our immediate family. Just a lot of uncertainty going on out there. And so, we're just trying to hang in there and take it day to day and just depend on God each day and have that dependency there and just trying to keep our anxiety in check. We just wanted to say hi and feel free to give us a call. We're going to do our best to keep in touch with you guys, getting calls on the weekends and during the week. So just wanted to check in.
I just wanted to say, I don't know about all of you, but the last 2 weeks have just felt really down. And this week is kind of the first week of like, okay, this is what this is going to be. And I know Eric and I have been talking about like God is our refuge. And if we can stay in his refuge, we do better. And it's kind of a taking your thoughts captive once getting nervous sets in and getting back into that area of refuge. So that has helped us, and we hope it would be helpful to you too, you guys too. It has been crazy having our kids home. Eric is trying to work from home. I am going in to work at the hospital. So it's just, we're kind of feeling it all. It's a lot having your children home. If I've ever prayed for patience, this is now the time that it is being tested. And I know you guys all feel that too. There's a lot of funny memes coming out, so everyone feels us. I know that. We just wanted to say, though, that we're here for the young families. If you are new to the church, feel free to reach out. We just want to be available. We're not adding anything to the young families ministry right now. We don't want to add anything to anybody's place, but we do want you to know, like us, the Morgans, the Reeves, we're all available if you guys want to chat and check in. And one last plug is for the food pantry. Grace Point Church has just been amazing these last 3 weeks through this. I help transport the food pantry food from Grace Point Church over to the Friends and Family Connection food pantry. And it like has blessed me and Rhonda and Jim, the facilities manager. Every time I come for a pickup, it's like an abundance of food. So thank you so much. And I know it's like a blessing to me to be able to help other people right now instead of just be focused on myself. So I would just encourage, if you have the means or even the slightest like inkling that you would want to do that, please do it, because I know that you'll be blessed too. So we just want to say hi and hope everyone's doing well and take care.
Bye, guys.
I am Jim Roberts.
And I'm Linda Roberts. Our ministry is prayer. Grace Point Church believes that prayer is very powerful and helpful. Members of our prayer team pray with people after the church services each Sunday on an individual basis. Since we can't do that during the pandemic, we would like to offer our prayer team services in a different way.
Don't underestimate personal prayer. If you have a need or know a need, pray immediately. If you have a prayer request, you can contact your small group members. The last small group meeting for the current session is this week, but Pastor Bob has asked the small groups to continue meeting remotely during the hiatus. The small groups share prayer requests every week, and I know these requests are prayed for often during the week.
If you don't belong to a small group, or you want the church to join in praying for a specific request, please send an email to the church at gpc@gracepointsd.com, or go to our GPC app and click in Needs Prayer. This request will be prayed for by a large group of people.
If you would prefer to have a more personal prayer, we would love to get back to you. Put your phone number on the request to the church, and we will call you or have someone call you to pray for you on the phone.
We want to pray for you.
Well, hello again, Grace Point Church. as we are wrapping up our fourth in a row online service, let me provide for you a last set of encouragements as we walk into another week. One encouragement is we still have some small group opportunities for you that will continue throughout this pandemic season. Our small groups have just wrapped up a series through the first 11 chapters of the book of Hebrews. But I've asked our small group leaders to go ahead and continue to meet because we all need the ongoing support and encouragement and prayer that a small community, like a small group, can provide. So I would encourage you to look on our website or email us, gpc@gracepointsd.com, and we would be glad to connect with you with one of the many small groups that are still ongoing in the weeks ahead. Also, let me encourage you to continue in your solitude time with our Lord. And our GPC app, and I'm also sending out some emails tomorrow morning, I would encourage you to, yes, enjoy and lean into our Sunday services, connect with our Zooming small groups as we continue to walk through this season together, but also make sure you carve out some solitude time with your Lord. Jesus Christ, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, wants to meet with you personally through this season. So again, click on our GPC app and click on Time with God, Solitude with God, and you will have some help in how to do that. Currently, many of us at Grace Point Church, we are going through the New Testament together. And so you can find out that schedule and jump on in. And may we have, again, some fresh solitude times with our Lord as we walk through, again, this season together. Also, next weekend, we are already planning our Good Friday evening service. And then, yes, our first online Sunday Easter celebration service. And I would encourage you to stay tuned for that. We will pre-record our Good Friday service and also pre-record our Easter morning celebration, and you will hear more about that. But let me surprise you with one last encouragement that I'd encourage you to do today. This is not only Palm Sunday, where we are celebrating the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. At Grace Point Church, this is the first Sunday of the month. So this is our Lord's Supper Sunday. And usually we gather together and we experience communion or the Lord's Supper together. And we are unable to do that today. So I would encourage you, wherever you are, with who God has brought you together with, other brothers and sisters in Christ, to share in the Lord's Supper together. Matter of fact, there's some Bible passages that you can reflect on. And I am excited for the opportunity for many of you, for the very first time, to take a little bit of juice, find a piece of bread or a cracker, and reflect on the fact that Jesus' body and blood was shared, sacrificed for you. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 13, you have these passages that help us reflect on the Wednesday before the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus, where he shared with this precious Passover Lord's Supper with his disciples. So let me stretch you a little bit, Grace Point Church. Have the Lord's Supper together with Jesus Christ and with those brothers and sisters in Christ around you. And may God truly encourage you through the fact that you are worth dying for. So may God continue to refresh you, encourage you, stretch you, grow you as we continue to walk with him one step at a time. We'll see you soon.